production for the two substitutes as they combine to get Chelsea in there.
After that debacle, welcome back to another episode of Two Substitutes. It's been 2 weeks and we are back again. I'm joined by Akshay once more. Welcome back, Akshay.
Hi, Arun.
How are you doing?
Doing pretty well, and I hope we are recording this time.
Yeah, we are recording this time. Yes, pretty sure. Checked and verified. Cool. Quality status passed. We deployed the production. So let's get started. We'll be reviewing the third game week. Mm-hmm. And then also review games around Europe later.
Okay.
Let's start with Liverpool-Arsenal, the big match of the weekend. Liverpool won, winning 3-1. I think even Arsenal fans expected this result.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that we were... there's no shame in losing to Liverpool, and like no one was expecting us to win away mm-hmm. at Anfield.
Yeah,
because they've been very strong at home and they haven't lost a game since last 2 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wasn't expecting us to win, or even a draw would have been a fantastic result for us.
Yeah.
But it didn't pan out to be. First half, I think we played really well.
Right.
Even though we were trailing to Joel Matip's goal from a corner. We did have some encouraging moments in first half, and Liverpool still dominated the position in the first half, but I think we had better clear-cut chances. There was one mistake by Adrian, and Aubameyang had the ball and he couldn't lob it into the net
right.
from distance. So if he had taken that, or after that, Pepe had a good one-on-one chance.
With the goalkeeper, yeah.
But his finishing was not up to the mark.
Seemed, yeah, not confident.
Yeah, he showed some good dribbling skills throughout the game.
Right.
So that was encouraging to see. But yeah, I mean, first half was good. But second half, David Luiz made a mistake in pulling Salah's shirt, and Liverpool was
in
awarded
the box.
A penalty.
Reviewed through VAR also, or yeah, they have to
yeah.
review every decision.
They did review, but it was so evident
yeah.
that there's no question and there's
right.
no doubt about it. And after that, when David Luiz got a yellow for that, and for third goal, Salah then skilled him because David Luiz came up
way outside his
and
yeah.
So he left his area, but
he turned
then
him.
He was in a position where he couldn't tackle or pull Salah back because he was already on a yellow card.
Yeah.
When Salah is free on that left hand side, you know what he's going to do.
Very composed.
So
finish
on
also.
The right hand side, so he just took it with his left foot.
Yeah.
Finished it in the bottom right corner. Yeah, it was a sad game. I think in terms of tactically, there is some divide between the fans thinking like whether decision to give all the space to Liverpool fullback was a good decision or not, because we played with a 4-4-2 diamond and with a narrow formation. So it was very different, and not many people expected us to play that way.
Yeah.
But our game plan was to let Liverpool have the ball in wide areas rather than like having them come at us through the center.
Well, why is that? They have been scoring a lot from the wide areas, though, in the
yeah,
last
that
season.
Was strange to see. But I think it was more down to the fact that last time when we played Liverpool, we were
exposed 5-1,
and Firmino pretty much like ran through our midfield. So I think like maybe
yeah.
Emery tried to ensure that we don't let them go through the center, and because we were allowing space to fullbacks to put in a cross, we had pretty much everyone in the box.
Yeah.
All of our four defenders and two midfielders as well, holding midfielders, we were outnumbering them up until the point when we conceded. So there is a divide between fans saying like, if Liverpool's strength is to attack from wide areas, then why did we choose to
right.
Let them have ball in that position? Because like Robertson and Alexander Arnold, they in together they had more than 25 assists
last season.
So it was strange to some fans, but also there's a counter argument that we did have a good chances in first
yeah,
half.
If you would have been more composed, like
yeah.
Liverpool were, could have been.
Right.
And so, also, yeah, with a team like Liverpool, and the gap that the two teams have in terms of quality, it's really hard to focus on one thing.
Right.
There, even if you have focused in wider areas, then the same result might have happened as last year. So
yeah, I think that's so you have exactly to just, the point that I have. Like, no matter what we had tried, like, yeah. Liverpool are the stronger team than us.
Yeah.
And they are, like, finished article, as you can say. Like, yeah. You know, they already know what their strengths are, and they have set formation, set players, and
yeah.
a set way of playing, which Arsenal don't have at the moment. We still right. have new signings to bed into the team, and also we were playing Joe Willock, Guendouzi, and Ceballos. It's very young and inexperienced midfield yeah. in the Premier League. So to have that midfield against a team like Liverpool, I think it was always going to be hard.
Right.
So I do not, I mean, I'm not too discouraged by the result. I was kind of expecting that Liverpool will be winning against us.
Right.
But it's just the manner of defeat where, you know, you look back and see, like, we had that good chance with Pepe. Also, the goals, like, last two goals were, like, individual mistakes, you could say, with David Luiz pulling his shirt when yeah. there was no reason to do it.
Yeah.
And the third one was still, like, Salah's brilliance, but... Yeah, I mean, deserved loss. I do not have any complaints.
And if you see, I think quality-wise, maybe, or level-wise, Arsenal, Chelsea are on the same level, maybe. But one or two world-class players can make a lot of difference, because in against Liverpool in the Euro, what was that cup? The
Super Cup?
Super Cup. We had Kante back for that, and he... played a major role in us. Like, it was a evenly matched game. Liverpool did not overpower us or anything, because at the center of the field, Kante was running around the pitch, tackling, intercepting. So, yeah, you need to have that quality in your squad.
Right. Yeah. The only regret that I have is with the team selection. That, like, you know, Lacazette was left on the bench, and
some people were saying he was injured. But then, if he was injured, then why was he on the?
Yeah, I don't think he was injured. He was available for selection, but maybe, like, Emery doesn't usually play Lacazette in away games. He usually like prefers to go with one striker. This time he went with two strikers up front,
right.
but he chose to go with Pepe just to exploit that pace. And we all know that Liverpool are playing with high line this season, so maybe, like, one intention was to. I tried to get in behind, which we managed to do it, but just couldn't take our chance.
Although, there was one stat in favor of you that I think Virgil van Dijk's record got broken, that he had not been dribbled past.
Yeah, so like last 50 games or something in the Premier League that
he
was dribbled past by for the first time. But yeah, I mean, I'm impressed by Pepe's dribbling.
Right.
He can certainly, like, cause problems to... anyone, I think, now in the Premier League, especially after seeing him against Robertson and Van Dijk.
Yeah, lots of team will be struggling against him. His finishing definitely needs to improve, though.
Yeah.
So, Liverpool now are the only team at the top of the table, winning all three games.
Perfect record, yep. For Liverpool, I think it was standard performance. They played like we expect Liverpool to be... playing, even though they had two games where they were found out defensively.
Yeah.
But in this game, I think they were good in all the areas and
right.
Got a deserved win.
Yeah. So, good performance from them. What next?
Should we talk about Manchester United? Just to, like, make me feel better.
You want to feel better.
Yeah.
Okay, Manchester United played against Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace getting the results that they tend to get against big teams for some reason. There was... it was a... who scored for Crystal Palace?
Van Aanholt.
At the Jordan end, yeah. Okay, let's start with... Let's review the game then. I think Manchester United didn't play bad. They were the better team of the two. But... the result is the result.
I think Crystal Palace made the most of their chances, and their first goal with Jordan Ayew, like,
smash and
just
grab.
long ball. And
Jordan Jeffrey Schlupp won the header, and there was so much gap between the two centre backs.
Yeah,
for that.
Everyone was criticizing Harry Maguire for that, because he was closer to Scott McTominay rather than the other striker,
Lindelof. So,
Yeah, rather than the other defender.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, once Lindelof lost that header, there was only one result. Like, Jordan Ayew was through on goal against De Gea. I was surprised that he managed to get it in, like, kept his composure and slotted in.
Right.
That was a good finish by him. And then Liverpool were just trying to defend throughout the 90 minutes.
Not Crystal Palace.
No, Crystal Palace, sorry.
Liverpool. Okay, yeah, and then, they did do a good job defending, though. They were compact in defense,
yeah,
putting
Femi
all men.
Share was good. And
yeah.
And who else? Dummett, their captain, he Dummett also put in a very good defensive performance.
And then in the 89th minute, Daniel James scored a really good goal. Curler from outside the box, a little bit outside.
Yeah, just closer
top
to
corner.
Yeah, the box. And yeah, that was a good finish.
And then immediately after that, Patrick went on hold. And then at that point, I think everyone thought Manchester United will go on to win the game because there were 5 minutes of extra time, I think.
Right. So everyone's saying, like, Fergie time and this chance to get a winner.
Right.
But this time, it didn't play into Man United's
hand. And credit to Crystal Palace for that. They were not backing down also. And they...
Yeah.
Patrick Van Aanholt got... De Gea could have done better with his shot, with Aanholt's shot to save it. But the ball crept in the goal and Crystal Palace got their victory. So this is a weird result.
Yeah, we should also talk about Rashford's missed penalty.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Too. So there was a lot of drama in their second half.
Right.
And I was watching that game and I was laughing so hard when Rashford hit the post because they had some controversy regarding who would take the penalty in their last game and Pogba missed.
But that controversy was laid to rest because Pogba himself, I think, handed the ball to...
Right,
but and it was a good penalty. It could have gone in on some other day, but it hit the.
But it's just like adds fuel to the fire, right? Like they're already talking about like who would take it, and their manager said that they don't have a certain penalty taker. Like both of them are penalty taker, and whoever is confident will take it.
I think so Rashford will be taking it still.
Yeah,
in the future.
Yeah, there should just be like one designated penalty taker to avoid this confusion.
Right.
Because what if both of them want to take a penalty and both of them are confident, then like it just adds unnecessary confusion and doubts in whoever's mind, whoever is taking penalty.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not something good. And they've already dropped few points because of their penalty decisions. I think like Pogba missed in the last game, which they could have won. And this one they could have drawn the game otherwise.
Yeah.
So, for Man United, after their highs of first game after beating Chelsea 4-0, next two games did not go.
It's so weird. They beat us, and now when I look, I feel even better now because of this result against Manchester United doesn't bother me as much. It's all like if you look at it with perspective. It's a different thing. Like, we were not bad in that game for most of the half.
Those 10 minutes of
madness. Yeah,
madness the blitz by United, whatever you can call it.
Right,
they made the most of it. And
Manchester United are also in the same level. I think with maybe Arsenal are a little bit better at this stage than Chelsea and Man U, but all three of those teams I'll put together in one basket, and I would say maybe teams in the top top 10, maybe Leicester or Everton, they can think of overtaking these three teams for the top four.
Yeah, there's certainly
at this point at least. Yeah.
Yeah, there are two categories, right? Like Liverpool and Man City, they're still in a different bracket.
Yeah.
Even we just have had three games this season.
Right.
But you can still feel the difference in the way they're playing and they're prepared for the season.
Yeah.
It's going to be entertaining to watch it, but I was happy that Man United lost against Crystal Palace, and it was a very surprising result. I would not have expected Man United to lose at home against Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
And there was also one stat that since Feb of this year, Crystal Palace are third in the table.
Oh, yeah, I saw that,
That was
surprising
too.
I was surprised to hear
that, they have more points than
Arsenal,
like big
Spurs,
six teams.
Chelsea, except Liverpool and
Man City,
which just once again shows.
So maybe we are underestimating Crystal Palace, But still, like, at home, Man United should be beating them.
So yeah, Manchester United then losing this game, disappointing for Ole. Disappointing for me also. I did not expect them to even concede a goal in this game. That's why I bought in Wan-Bissaka for my team and then conceded two goals. 0 points for him. In other results, yeah, so let's talk about Chelsea then. Norwich and Chelsea, very entertaining game right away to start the Saturday off early in the morning.
Yeah, Chelsea is playing for the US very expansive football. Like all open and
yeah, they'll concede a lot of goals, but hopefully we can score more goals. The good thing for us this time was Tammy Abraham scored some really good goals. The first one, I liked the first one the best. Mm-hmm. Because it's not easy to score that goal on a half volley or almost a volley from a corner.
Also, it was good to give him some confidence because a lot of questions were asked of him because he did not score in their first two games. And
credit to Lampard for believing in him still. Also, he ran away to the bench to give him a hug. So that was nice. As I said before, I think I don't expect much from us this season. But if these results continue and this, like, I just hope there is positivity around the club for the whole season at least. Even if results don't go our way.
Yeah, it's going to be
it's very important.
Tough time for Chelsea, I think, just because the way they are playing and allowing sides to score against them quite freely. So, you know, every game you need to make sure that you score more than them. And it's kind of hard to sustain that throughout the season and also against better defenses.
Yeah,
Norwich. So,
yeah. I'm just hoping because we didn't have once again Kante in this game. He makes such a big difference. And some of the other players that are out injured, hopefully when they come back, we can solidify our defense. Rudiger is also out. So we are hoping he gives us more something else to choose from. But yeah, Norwich gave us a good fight. They once again, Teemu Pukki scoring 5 goals now in 3 games.
Yeah, he's been scoring. Sensational this season.
And his... he got an assist also.
He got a goal and assist.
Some dodgy defending from Chelsea once again for the goals. But 2 goals for them, very entertaining. I think if you look at it the other way, Norwich might... They are an entertaining team, but that can also cause their demise in this league if they don't...
Yeah, they're trying to go toe-to-toe against whoever they're playing with. Right. And... Yeah, better teams can certainly punish them more than a few teams have done. But at the same time, like, you know, they don't have too much to lose, and that's the way they've been playing since last season.
Right.
So maybe, like, you know, it's sometimes you say, like, attack is the best form of defense. So maybe that will work out for them. And also, their Teemu Pukki, their striker, is on fire.
Yeah.
They have other midfielder, I think, Cantwell.
Who is
doing really well as well.
Cantwell is doing well.
Yeah.
His name says Cant, but he can. He should be called Canwell. So basically this game, except for Pukki, was a game of youngsters. Mason Mount also got a really good goal. He's now scored 2 goals in 2 games. And pretty good for someone who Jose Mourinho criticized. I'm liking Lampard for continuing to believe in these players. First, maybe he has no choice also, but I think he would have played them anyways if he had, because he has showed that with the Derby County last season also. So I'm glad we got our first win of the season, and now Manchester United have same points as us, so that's also nice. Watford lost at home to West Ham. We're moving on to that game now. West Ham coming to form now. Watford look strangely
out of sorts this season. Yeah, they are not doing well, and it seems like they will be in a relegation fight for sure this season.
At least from
we talked about them saying that they haven't signed too many players,
right?
And
we were saying at the preseason podcast that. Usually they are the ones signing a lot of players.
Yeah.
not that that is always a good thing, but still, yeah, they have. Where are they now? Which
they are
bottom of the table. They have not won a single game. Yeah,
without a single point.
Yeah, that is surprising. And West Ham, their new signing, record signing, I think, right?
Yeah,
Haller scored 2 goals. I have not seen this match actually. I have to see.
Yeah,
the highlights.
I've seen highlights, and yeah, the second goal was good by Haller. It was kind of a bicycle kick for a big man.
Okay. I was reading though that Mark Noble is still so important for this club. He was running the show, and he still got his at his age. That is credit to him also, but also maybe they should think of replacing him.
Yeah, they also have Lanzini.
Lanzini, Felipe Anderson came back,
who earned a penalty. So yeah, they have good players in the midfield. With adding their new striker, I think they could score some goals and cause some upsets as well.
Right.
And yeah, talking about upset, we can also talk about Spurs.
Okay, but let's finish the Saturday games first. Southampton won against Brighton. Brighton with 10 men.
Yeah, Brighton started off this season well, but they'll be staying in the league this season, it seems like.
Yeah, but it's so early to say. Yeah. But the red card thing, I don't know what he was doing, Andone, there. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. It was pretty stupid.
Early as well in the game. Like, it was... Right.
30th minute. Itself, right? Yeah, 30th minute.
Yeah, to survive in the Premier League for that many minutes with 10 men, it was not going to be possible.
But yeah, that was pretty stupid. And then they also had a goal disallowed VAR once again. At least for this part.
VAR.
It's coming to the... we'll talk about VAR sometime maybe later in the podcast. But yeah, in this one, I think it was a good decision by VAR. Southampton won the game. And they're still in the relegation zone, but... At least they have their first victory. Leicester City, they are looking... Yeah, they look like the best out of top six, outside of the top six team to crack into top six. Maybe top four also if they keep playing like this. They were very good against Chelsea. And once again at Sheffield. If I remember correctly, Harvey Barnes scored a really good goal.
Yeah, that was amazing volley.
Yeah.
And Vardy's one was good. Vardy also by Madison.
Yeah. Vardy under Brendan Rodgers has now scored 10 goals in 13 games.
Wow.
I think so.
And yeah, for Leicester, their new signings are like Pride started for them game. I think he was good, but Madison, I think, is their main man for.
Yeah, he
chances.
Was their man of the match for the Chelsea game also.
Yeah.
And he's looking like he's stepping up.
Right. And yeah, Leicester already had a decent squad and they've added to it. And they also have Brendan Rodgers as their manager who likes to play attacking football. And yeah, so
pretty experienced manager. Right. Entertaining, but also effective. Right. They can
hurt any opposition. Right.
Yeah, Barnes also looks like a very exciting player. And we should have a personal interview because they have an Indian origin player also in their team, Hamza Chaudhary, who is really good actually.
He is starting this season.
Yeah.
So that is good.
Sheffield United also, they got a goal at least, but I think I was reading their manager tore into the players after the game or something. He looks like a pretty blunt, or not blunt, brunt? What's the word? Straightforward, let's say. I don't remember. I cannot think English.
Yeah, blunt. Be a good word.
Manager. Because he's from Scotland, I think, or something.
Yeah, they have 4 points from 3 games, so they have started off.
Yeah, they
in much better fashion than
so
people would have expected
them. Did they beat
them.
Crystal Palace right last time?
Yeah,
that's a surprising result. So many,
right, yeah.
Credit to Crystal Palace also then for improving themselves in for the game against Manchester United.
Yeah. But okay. Zaha's situation is still unclear, but he was good against United.
Yeah. Okay, now we can talk about the Sunday games and let's start with Tottenham Hotspur. I'll be honest and I'll say I didn't mind the loss. Spurs also, they were good in this game, but Newcastle were better. So I think Newcastle were better than what Crystal Palace were against Manchester United. I think Newcastle were a much better improved team.
Mm-hmm.
If you consider the level between the teams and how Newcastle are, like, I think both of us had them predicted for relegation.
Their new signing, Joe Linton, had a good goal.
He played better than Harry Kane. That doesn't happen often, I think. He had more touches of the ball, I read.
Yeah, he's somehow like, I think he will be doing well in the Premier League.
You didn't have them. You have Norwich, Sheffield and Southampton for relegation.
Okay cool. Yeah. Southampton is still in line.
I have Newcastle, Norwich and Sheffield.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
It's good that we have it all.
Yeah.
That's good.
But yeah, let's
Joe Linton, he's surprisingly amazing at holding up the ball.
Right, yeah.
Like he can stand against
any
defender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agility, status.
Yeah, the first goal was all about his first touch.
Right.
And they have player in Almiron who has that South American mentality where he's always running behind trying to put in tackle even at 90th minute. He is working hard for the team and that was on display, and I was encouraged by Newcastle display too.
It will be a big boost for the supporters as well, going after Mike Ashley.
Their new signing Saint-Maximin started, but he was subbed off later. Atsu came on. He did have an impact.
Atsu immediately got an assist.
He caused a lot of problem on the wings with his pace and trickery on the ball.
That was once again, Spurs also had big gap between their two defenders for that goal.
Yeah.
Joe Linton was practically unmarked for that.
They have Vertonghen out injured, I think. And they're playing with Davinson Sanchez and Alderweireld, whose future is still in doubt.
In the balance,
For Spurs, there are problems because Christian Eriksen did not start the game.
Once again,
When he came on, it clearly made the difference to Spurs' midfield. And they were managing to hold the ball better and they did have few good chances towards the end.
Yeah.
So situation with him is still unclear and that's not good for Spurs. And this was another surprising result too because Newcastle was playing away.
Right, and, you were playing away and the struggles that they have been having this season. It was so good result for, and maybe we should give credit. Yeah, we definitely give credit to Steve Bruce for how he set his team up. They defended resolutely also. Clearly, their players are behind him.
Yeah.
Because Steve Bruce is a Newcastle man, I think. He was born and brought up in Newcastle. Yeah, yeah. So, and he played for Newcastle also, if I'm not wrong.
Harry Kane surprisingly missed one chance at the end to level.
Okay.
And there was one penalty shout.
We'll list all of them at the end of the...
Yeah, VAR one is interesting to talk about. And there are so many controversial reasons.
Okay, keep them all in mind. We have two more games and then we can talk about this. Okay, so Wolves and Burnley, I don't know if you saw it, it was a pretty boring game.
I did not see that game.
Wolves had a Europa League qualifier match before this, so they are clearly struggling with that, I think, because this game was so frustrating to watch. Burnley got their goal and they didn't, you know how they play, but it's not their fault, but they could have got the result, but there was once again a controversial
decision towards the end, right?
Yeah,
94th minute?
Something like that, And Jimenez scored. So Wolves will be glad. Honestly, Wolves will be really glad with this point. They should have lost this game. Ruben Neves didn't have his passing range in this game. Traore was also frustrating.
Yeah, it's hard to play on Thursday and then play again on Monday.
Exactly.
And for a squad like Wolves, I think it would certainly affect them because they don't have a big roster like other big clubs have. Even though they are in the Europa League, they will be able to rotate their squad quite significantly for Europa League games and keep everyone fresh. But for a team like Wolves, pretty much same team, they're putting out every week and they're playing twice in a week. So it takes a toll.
And Ashley Barnes also keeps scoring like Timu Pukki.
Yeah, I mean, this time, I think in terms of fantasy FPL, budget strikers have been doing much better than the other expensive strikers, they have like as many or even more some in some cases points for fantasy. So yeah, I mean, if you want to reshuffle your squad around these kind of budget strikers, which is what I'm planning to do.
Except for Aguero, so let's come back to that game. He continues to score goals.
Yeah, Man City, I mean, we have already talked enough about them. It was just another Man City game. Even though Bournemouth showed some
after they
good
scored
signs,
their first goal, they were looking dangerous also.
Yeah, they've also missed few good chances, some sitters actually. And Ederson made a couple of really
mistakes.
Good saves.
Yeah, also mistakes.
He did a mistake.
Which was coming out so far out his line. I think the yellow card was the correct decision there.
Yeah, yellow card was the correct decision because
I think the attacker was
too far towards the touchline in the wide area. And I don't think he would have had a clear shot on goal had he not been fouled.
But that free kick from Harry Wilson was really awesome.
Yeah,
right on the
top
corner.
The commentator was talking about it, saying like he's good from range and whatnot. And going into the top corner, even though Ederson dived the right way, he could not do anything with it.
I have seen him play because he was at Derby County last season with Lampard, and he used to score a lot of long range goals.
I see
when they beat Man U, he scored a long ranger also in FA Cup last season. I don't know if you remember.
No, I remember his name, but
he's on loan from Liverpool,
or exact game in which he scored.
Yeah, so he looks a good player. Maybe he'll get more game time now because he came on for the injured.
Who
did he come on for?
I think Charlie Daniels.
Charlie Daniels
was substituted.
Yeah, before him, Charlie Daniels was the only person to score against Manchester City. So that was a
Bournemouth had
fact.
Some decent chances, but you know it's Man City.
Right, two goals.
They know what to do when. It never looked like game was beyond them or like they were going to struggle.
They
have
looking
Kevin De Bruyne
so
back full fit, so that adds to their attacking quality.
Yeah.
It was David Silva's 400th.
Cancelo hasn't even started playing yet for them, the new signing.
Yeah.
David Silva, he was running the show.
Right.
For
they
them.
Replaced him with Rodri, I think, in this
Rodri,
game.
Fernandinho.
I mean, they just have too much talent. Mahrez was on the bench still.
Mahrez won.
Even though he scored in the first game week.
Honestly, only maybe some bad injury or something to the top
he's
players.
He's injured too. Like
he would have played if I think he's the first choice now for Guardiola.
Yeah. So I mean, if Aguero is your backup or even Jesus is your backup, that tells you.
Mourinho was right when he said the top four contenders.
Yeah.
Man City B team
seems like it, right? Like,
and it's really hard. Someone has to push them. As much as Liverpool did last season, otherwise they'll be winning it again.
Right.
And I don't like to say that, but that.
Yeah, Sterling is on absolute fire this season as well. And
this season, yeah. Same.
Yeah, their attackers, midfielders,
everyone
all are in top form.
Right.
I don't see anyone.
They got a new left
them.
Back, Zinchenko, who's. I mean, he's not new, but almost new.
Yeah.
But he's also looking good. Looks like whoever comes into their team just fits in.
I also think it is down to their manager on how he's coaching and getting the best out of them. Like if you see a player like Fabian Dev, who you would consider that, you know, he's not up to the level best or he doesn't belong to an elite club, but he can fit him in his starting 11 and managing to get performances. So that tells you a lot.
Yeah, it is. And Benjamin Mendy is still injured for them.
Right.
Who's yet to play? I think they might sell him now if they think that Zinchenko is doing his job.
Yeah, they still have Sané out injured
for
6 months now or 8 months.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll miss him. They still have Mahrez on the bench. Jesus or Aguero.
They'll be using their full squad for the Champions League one. Just A team and B team both. They don't have to worry about it. Yeah, it's demoralizing sometimes for teams.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, right? Like, is Premier League becoming like other major leagues where there is a known winner?
Yeah.
And one of the two teams will win the title. In Premier League's case, it's only one team.
Yeah.
I think like Man City will again go on to win the title and other teams would just try to fight for remaining places.
Top four.
And... In this game week, though, you could see Newcastle beating Spurs, Crystal Palace beating Man United, but I don't think same thing happens to
Liverpool
Man City
or
Liverpool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you wouldn't see surprising results
with
them. So even though we can say that anyone can beat anyone, but that's only true for remaining 18 teams.
Yeah. I mean, odd results can always happen. Like, Wolves did get a point against City last season, but that is very extremely rare.
Right.
I think City could have easily won that game also. There was some
controversial decision in that game. And
talking of controversial decisions, now we can come back to VAR. There were I cannot remember many, but I know there were lots of controversial decisions.
Yeah, I think
Manchester United game also, I think they could have easily got a penalty. Manchester United, I'm talking about Martial, I think.
Yeah, Martial's one was clear foul. But the thing is, like, they want to stick with the on-field referee if they don't see a clear and obvious mistake.
Yeah. So I think maybe the way it is defined is wrong. I still support VAR, I think, but it's the way that it is being used. Maybe it needs to be changed.
I think the perception was, or my impression was, that they will be able to turn any decision
overturn,
regardless of what the on-field ref has given.
Yeah.
So even if on-field ref says that it's a penalty, that decision doesn't actually taken into account for making a decision for VAR.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's not the case. If on-field umpire had given a penalty, then that counts way more than whether it's actual foul or not. So if you see...
Wait, so if on-field umpire gives a penalty, referee, then they cannot go to VAR?
They can go to VAR.
They'll always go to VAR, right?
But they will also consider, like, he has given a penalty and there has to be clear and obvious mistake for it to be turned down.
Okay.
So consider an example in Harry Kane's case.
Yeah.
Where he was definitely fouled and... if you look at the replays, you can say that, okay, this is a foul to
clear
me.
Penalty, yeah.
But when you look at it in the real time, it doesn't look like you would see that there is a foul from ref's angle.
Yeah.
So VAR looked at it and then they thought that, okay, it's not clear and obvious mistake, because from what he could see, it's not clear that there was a foul. And they
give a penalty. But that's not the point of VAR, right? We are using VAR to... Because this seems like the opposite of what it was used during the City Spurs game. Yeah, because referee did referee.
Yeah, but with the handball case, it's kind of like black and white, right? Like if a ball hits any attacker in the box.
But referee didn't see that, right?
Yeah, but regardless of referee sees or not, that's like, like ref's decision doesn't come into play in that time. Like what on-field ref has given.
It's the way the rules are written that is my problem. I know some people don't like VAR, but I think I still support VAR. We just had to change, and this is still a young technology. We can still improve on it.
Yeah, but after Spurs' game or last game, Mix's game, everyone is saying, like, you know, it's just another tool, or all refs are together.
Yeah.
So it's more like they don't want decision to be turned down, thinking like, okay, this on-field umpire has given a wrong decision. So last game week, I think none of the decision was turned down or like reversed or overturned from what the on-field ref has given.
You think referees' egos will take over?
Early signs are that it is true, because they don't want to overturn what on-field ref has given. And
this can
say like clear and obvious mistake, then that means like something definitely has to be like so wrong that, like, you know, you just say like, okay, this is a blatant mistake and has to be overturned. Otherwise, if it's dodgy or somewhere like borderline foul, then they are okay with sticking to on-field ref.
VAR will get a lot of fingers pointing at it in this season, I'm guessing. But I hope we can narrow down the mistakes, and I don't think it slows down the game that much, and it will definitely keep improving. It might be possible to have the results shown to the referee sooner than what is happening now.
Yeah, there's also some...
In World Cup, it was very properly used.
Yeah, it was seamless, but I think, like, there is still, like, now, but I think, like, people will always have opposing opinions. Like some people are saying, like, yeah, they like mistakes. They have like something to talk about. I don't about. Like some point drama at all. And like
they like mistakes. Yeah. That is a stupid point to make, in my opinion. I think this is a.
Yeah, you like can to lose talk about controversy.
One point can be like a difference between a relegation or winning title.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the thing. Like they should be allowed to overturn any decision that on-field ref is doing. That's what should happen, but it's not happening
right now. Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's see. Maybe like they will change it soon. Definitely not this season.
Right.
Maybe next season.
Let's see. Yeah, hopefully it goes in a positive direction. Okay, that's the Premier League. From about the results in the other leagues. Conte got his first win today. First game of the season, 4-0. Pretty
convincing win.
Convincing win. Yeah. Lukaku getting his goal. Icardi was not playing, I think. So I don't know what's the situation with him.
Yeah, it would be interesting to follow Inter this season. They have
Conte
has
a
manager in Serie A.
Plus, I think maybe Inter can win the title from Juventus because Sarri doesn't have that. Sarri has the players, but
right,
he doesn't have experience winning the league. I mean, Europa League with Chelsea was the first title for him in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we know what Conte is like. He managed to win the league for Chelsea after starting so bad.
And
with not
he also won in Italy when Sarri was there, right?
He won Napoli. It three times in a row. Yeah.
Right.
For Juventus.
Yeah.
So, Serie A could be interesting to watch. Lukaku might get lots of inform cards in FIFA.
Yeah, he's very salty about leaving Man United.
Juventus, on the other hand, they were very boring. They had a boring 1-0 win. And surprisingly, De Ligt was not picked for that game.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we'd like to say, hopefully, Sarri recovers from his pneumonia. I think he had an incident. He was in hospital.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't available for the game, right? And few more games, right?
Yeah,
he'll not be available.
At least two games, they said, yeah, he'll not be available. So, hopefully, he can recover soon. Also, in the French League, the news was that Mbappe got injured. He pulled his hamstring.
He's out for 3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah. So Eric Choupo-Moting has a big responsibility now.
Yeah.
He scored. He did score in his first game. He scored 2 goals.
Right, and they will also have to reconsider decision about Neymar too, because even Cavani is injured. So
Cavani
both of their strikers
injured,
are injured.
No, I think they still want to sell Neymar. If they don't sell him, Neymar might as well not play because he might cause problems for them. I don't know what's happening with Neymar's situation. Both Real Madrid and Barcelona at this point are interested in him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, but there are not too many days left to make that decision.
Yeah.
But yeah, wherever he goes, there'll be a lot of money involved, as well as it'll be a big news if he moves.
Bundesliga.
Dortmund on fire.
On
with
fire.
Jadon
again,
Sancho.
Yeah. Jadon Sancho,
yeah, he has become their main man now, like I think this season, at least so far.
And Thorgan Hazard, their new signing, also got an assist, I think, and maybe a goal.
Right, yeah, they're continuing their free scoring run this season as well.
Yeah, they have scored like 8 or 9 goals, right, in 2 games? So
yeah, two games, 8 goals.
Pretty interesting. Red Bull Leipzig are keeping pace with them. They have the new manager also, former Hoffenheim. He's the youngest manager, I think, across Europe, maybe 30, 32 years old. What's his name? I forgot. Yusuf Poulsen scoring goals for them.
Yeah, Timo Werner also signed a new contract for Leipzig. And for Bayern, they drew their first game. But in the second game, Lewandowski scored a hat-trick.
Julian Nagelsmann. That's the manager's name. Oh, yeah, Lewandowski. So, Bayern Munich got their first victory.
2 against Schalke, so it was a big game.
Right. And, oh, we forgot one game from Premier League. Aston Villa also got their first victory. 2-0 against Everton. That was also
That was a surprising result. And,
Watching Aston Villa play, I think they will be fine. None of us have them in their in in a relegation prediction. Mm-hmm. I think they will be a safe team because they are playing. They're not playing like Fulham. They signed a lot of players, but they still have their core,
mm-hmm.
like Aston Villa philosophy with them, and their manager is also like Steve Bruce. He bleeds mm-hmm. Aston Villa. So, yeah. And they have John Terry, which I'll always support them at least this season. Yeah, Everton losing was a surprising result, even though it was against Aston Villa. Yeah. And then finally in La Liga, Barcelona did win easily, convincingly. Griezmann got
announcing himself. Camp Nou. I was
two goals and an assist.
Yeah, it's a good performance, especially in the absence of Suarez and Messi.
Messi, yeah. So they look like they are finally coming back to their in their groove.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be exciting to see when all three of them play together.
Right.
I'm not sure if that will happen, but
I mean, they cannot play together at once.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like.
Three team playing in the same pitch. I think it's not possible. But yeah, Atletico also, once again, the new signing, Joao Felix. We talked about him before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the next like a Mbappe. Real player.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just his dribbling plus composure.
Right.
Is well, like, now you have seen him, but before, like, we just knew that, like, he's some name who's scored one hat-trick before moving to Atletico. Maybe like people thought that they spent money quite early in his career without actually seeing him play a lot of games.
But it was the same with like, Mbappe also, right? Because, I mean...
It's surprising that like maybe... I mean, he just had that one game, like one Europa League hat-trick and everyone noticed him.
Yeah.
And he is managing to live up to that expectation and hype. So it is good to see. Maybe like sometimes... they are an exceptional player and they just need one game to be recognized and like to announce themselves on the big stage and get a big move and still play.
Yeah, I remember Gareth Bale was proven, but that one game against Inter Milan in the Champions League got him in the bigger, like, everyone.
Point on, like, his performances kept going and going and like those. Only thing you could see is progress. And
yeah. So, Sevilla is top of the league in La Liga right now. So, that was that.
Real Madrid
drew against... who was it?
Yeah, it was a late goal.
They are missing Eden Hazard. He got injured right before the start of the season. So, they still have a lot to figure out. I think out of all these three, Atletico are looking... At least until Messi comes back, Atletico are looking the most stable side.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm predicting maybe Atletico and Barcelona to fight for the title towards the end. Real Madrid are still struggling. Luka Jovic, Benzema is still their go-to striker. Jovic is not.
He scored an amazing goal, Benzema. And yeah, but for Real Madrid, somehow I think like they will be struggling this season. It's just like the vibes are not positive from their team.
Yeah, but I think Hazard will show up and he'll announce himself. Like, Joao Felix. I'll always support Hazard. His presence has been delayed, but he'll be back.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of speculation about Bale leaving and Neymar coming. So, it'll be interesting watch that as well.
I was reading PSG, I think, are asking for Vinicius Jr. or Courtois in exchange.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I think Madrid would do that. Yeah, they really want Neymar. It also doesn't make sense though because Hazard and Neymar play in the same position. So,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe like, yeah, I mean, even for striking positions, they have already signed Luka Jovic. And they still have Benzema.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe like, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe Hazard will play as a cam or... Like he'll move more centrally because I think he has qualities.
If they want, they can. They have money
to passes too.
Right. Yeah. If they want, they can just make Hazard play right or Neymar play right.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Because of these injuries, it's interesting now how Zidane has to play Gareth Bale now.
Yeah.
Okay, any other news you heard around the footballing world outside of on-pitch action?
Outside of on-pitch action? No, I think I'm just curious to see like what you thought about all the new signings that happened throughout, just like throughout the transfer window till now.
In the Premier League?
I know, like, all across Europe. You can start with Premier League first. And
I mean, we can go, yeah, we can maybe say who the best signing has been so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's still early to say, but still, early, like, yeah, you know, they've got some minutes and
yeah,
we can.
In the out of the smaller team, Joe Ellington has looked, I thought he was good in even in mm-hmm. the previous games, maybe to a lesser extent, but he has been doing well.
Yeah, I'm impressed by his holder play.
Yeah,
he's, I think that's certainly seems, like to have that composure and that physical.
And he has the composure to finish also.
At his age, right. It's good thing.
Yeah.
And he also has powerful shot on him.
Right.
Even though he has scored only once, but
yeah,
then, you could see that he can finish.
Right. And I have been impressed. Maybe we didn't sign anyone, Chelsea, I mean, but our youngsters have been playing really well. Mm-hmm. They are, I would say they are like new signings. Because we actually,
I think for Chelsea, yeah, Mason Mount for Mason me, Mount I guess. Like, he's small and tricky, but he's still like managing to,
right.
The way the goal he scored against Leicester was kind of...
Right.
Obviously, the goal that you don't usually see where he was falling on the ground, but still took a shot and it went in.
Leicester or Norwich?
It was against Leicester, right? Like, he dispossessed Ndidi and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, him and James Maddison are... England seems to have a lot of quality players now. I hope
there's abundance of talent for England right
yeah.
now. Like,
but somehow they never converted.
Yeah, true.
Okay, what about you? I'm still thinking about the actual transfers. Joe Ellington has looked good, I think, in the Premier League. Big players, we have not seen Cancelo yet, so we cannot say much.
Yeah, Rodri has looked home, like... He played in first two games today.
I feel like it's cheating to say Manchester City player. Somehow their players always fit into the system and they just...
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's also credit to their scouting system or whoever. Like, because the way they sign, they just know that he's going to fit into the team.
Yeah.
And yeah, they just don't waste any time in settling in at the club.
Yeah.
For me, I think from the remaining ones, Haller, who just got started, I think both of his goals were good. And if he can continue that, I think he'll get more goals because West Ham have like tricky wingers or tricky midfielders who can give him service.
Mm.
I was excited to see Moise Keane, but so far not it has played. Not worked out for him. Like he's not able to...
He has come on as a sub, right?
Yeah, he's coming on as a sub and somehow... maybe like he needs more time.
Yeah.
But he hasn't set the world alight.
Yeah. Out of all... Yeah, I mean, it's very early. It's only 3 games and in some cases, 1 game, 2 game in other leagues.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, we should talk
but
about...
Yeah, for me, like, I'm impressed by Ceballos as well. Like, I mean, I have Arsenal bias, but the way he played against Burnley was...
good.
Was very exciting to see and... If he can perform that on a consistent basis or perform at that level on a consistent basis, it'll be really good for our midfield. Because we need that player who can come out of the danger or trouble when 2-3 players are marking him and through his dribbling skills. And
I can mention actually Kovacic. He did sign permanently. So he has been really good in all the games so far. Same thing as he can dribble... in tight spaces and also look for a pass and somehow I feel like having Lampard as the coach, all the midfielders are playing really well now in the CX. So he would be my pick from my team at least. But other than that, Joe Ellington would be my choice in Premier League.
Okay.
And the other leagues.
Felix is the only one. Yeah. Most expensive transfer this window. And he has certainly like lived up to that expectation. And Griezmann has started life well at
now,
Barcelona.
Now he has, this game.
Yes. So,
I mean, he is a quality player.
He's already proven in La Liga. Yeah. So there's no doubt. Like, he also proved himself with France in the World Cup, so I don't think there is any doubt in his ability or his success at Camp Nou.
Right. I'm trying to see if any other incidents
happen. In Serie A, I think Lukaku has started well.
This was their first week, right? First game.
I think he played in a cup game or some kind of friendly, I guess, with Inter.
Okay.
And he scored in that game as well.
Okay.
Ndombele for Spurs, I think he had two good games. Still early on, but I think he has fit in well. Yeah, he looks like a player for the Premier League level, like he can succeed.
Normally, and Son is coming back to their team now, so he'll be a good addition. When Bissaka, except the last game, he has been. He has also technically proven himself. He's a really good young defender. He'll be very good.
He was in the Premier League last season, so we already know like what he's made of. Yeah. And him and Maguire, they had
more when Bissaka. I think Maguire's mistakes yesterday. Not yesterday.
Against Crystal Palace. Last game.
But yeah, I think Wan-Bissaka has been a good signing for them. That's all, I think.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Once again, thanks for joining, Akshay.
I see you guys in a few weeks now again.
Yes. Hopefully we can do it weekly.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks. Where can people listen to us?
People can listen to us on
Spotify, not Podbeans, just Podbean.
Spotify, Facebook, Insta.
Facebook, Instagram,
Twitter.
Follow on Twitter, yes. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and all that good stuff.
Okay.
Have a good week, guys. See you next time.
See you guys. Bye.